Yeah, Ellie, you're going to hold it. I think we spent adequate time on the Davis meeting last week, devoted the entire thing to the whole concept of the Holy Sonesis there. And today I'd like to move ahead and give you a chance to ask what you want. Let's touch on the Ethiopian Jews. That's really cool. There we have Ethiopian Jews. Mamzeres, Mamza Mamzeres, and Suli Kuhuna, which has become the most prevalent pilot today. Something that some of you people interested in sociology should undertake as a major doctoral thesis. Why is it that Kohanim always fall in love with a Geer? Disproportionate. Okay, I want to ask something. Any knowledge.
And the case there was where you said that it basically had to go across the account for a minute. And I certainly reported to the idea of not living in with both a fee, does that also not support them? So that also means that you're also still living there on people and nothing.
Except there you have. Obviously, the next step of that. He converted for a reason. He wants to leave the Goyim. Because Gesh is Gaia Vena Akum, right? And obviously, you have to make up a whole scenario there. What is obviously someone who's hoping to be able to get away and live like a Jew while he's living among the Goyim, that period of time. Assume a short period of time, otherwise about some Mishigas to know what you call such a also Bishani Askin and the mother talk about Mishigoyim. You want to live among the Goyim, you want to become a Jew and be a Jew lives among the Goyim, obviously. So that's why it's a good raya from there that at the time of Gevus the Kabbalah has to be to do whatever a Jew does, even though he doesn't know what a Jew does. That's not a Winterman saying. Winterman pointed out that if a Jew, knowing what a Jew is, knowing how Jews live, chooses to live among an irreligious kibbutz rather than religious kibbutz, he's making a statement. A statement that is at variance with the Drom Shebal Peh, and the Maisa is mostly with their people. Okay? Let's take the easy ones first. I won't spend too much time on the Ethiopian question. Regrettably, it's not a question of any significance anymore. I think what's happened is all those that were touched by the YU Sharamo program became Jews, or most of them did. And those that were not touched, most in the secular world, so that great Operation Joshua, or whatever they gave it a name, all that accomplished was it gave the poor Sfaradim in Afula someone to look down on. So, gave them another untouchable case below them. But the Shaila itself is a Shaila that's not going to go away. Ethiopians, it will go away, Ms. Kamen. They sort of solved the problem. The Ethiopians are marrying between themselves under their old regulations, whatever they were. They allow the Kisim to give Kupa Kedushin. The Shaila is not yet close to being resolved because there's more than Ethiopians involved in the Shaila. You have the black Jews of India. You have crazy rumors with some evidence that it's true. There are a large, large number of Jews in Afghanistan, most likely those that chased the Russians out. And they look Jewish, they have beards. There's a whole group in Eretz Yisrael that is convinced that the Afghanistans are all Jews. They're from the Seretz HaShortim. And we got in Mexico a whole big group of some 300 that are pleading to come to Eretz Yisrael who've been conducting themselves as Jews for decades, maybe even centuries, the so-called Indian Jews in Mexico, and scattered throughout the world. You have the Sufic Jews, which essentially have all the problems that have been brought to the fore during the Ethiopian question. I included in there a little article I wrote for the yeshiva here, for the Kosei Yeshiva, my personal study on the Ethiopians, and my Shrev Vatsal wanted to issue a ruling on them. He wasn't content with the information that they had, and I spent several days living with one of the Kohanim, one of the Kesim of them, the so-called Kohen Gadol of the groups, and got to know much of them in Hagim, how they conduct themselves, who they are, what they are. The Shrev Vatsal felt that they were Goyim, that they need Milo Tzvila, and anything that has ever been published about them, unfortunately, has been published from secular sources. Sociologists who had no feel for halacha, hence couldn't poke away even at what the other origins are in halachic terms. I met a Baal Tshuva, Dr. Rosen, a psychologist now in Yerushalayim, and a Baal Tshuva later, who lived 15 years, lived in an Ethiopian village. It was so far from Yiddishkeit then that he knew nothing about their customs as Jews. He went there because I think there was one of the illicit drugs was available there or something. And then the very chashev Baal Tshuva now, and he pointed out how little people know about the Jewishness of the Ethiopians if you're not oriented in halachic terms to know, to look what makes them into Jews. Much of what they do is shared by the non-Jewish world. Mila, circumcision, is almost universal in the whole area. As you know, circumcision in Africa is not an unusual maturation rite. Both male and female circumcision is widely practiced. The unique observances of Ethiopian Jews are very, very few. The only one that most likely is really uniquely Jewish is they have a holiday in which they bemoan, like our Tisha B'Av, they call it Ezra, and it bemoans the loss of Yerushalayim and the Golus of Am Yisrael, whether it came in later or earlier. Beyond that, their holidays are all messed up. The timings, you know, calendar, not our calendar. Confuse the picture because it would be nice to classify them as Torah Shebiksav Jews, not Torah Shebateh. But that doesn't work either because a lot of Torah Shebiksav have disappeared. They don't wear tefillin. They don't have gittin, which is the real Torah that we'll mention in a minute. That will introduce us to the Mamzer Mazeres question. They don't have chalitza. These are all the tzav. I was at this home of that Kohen Gadol near Haifa. I spent 3 nights sleeping in his house. Pumped him for everything that he knew, and he's a tremendous Talmud Chacham, if you can use that term. He knew Tanakh by heart, much of Tanakh by heart. And he's even known to the people. He just referred to it as the Kohen Gadol. He's the one that that brought their Torah out. Irit, the name of it, they call the Torah Irit. Alraita, Torah Irit, he brought the Torah out. The Torah is written on goat skin, not the Megillah, but the Sefer. And whereas everybody went and they carried with them every extra morsel of food, for the way he had tied to his body Sefer Shmuel and the Irit. The Shmuel, that was Sefer Shmuel, I saw it. Couldn't read it. We had an interpreter from the government. I had a Tanakh with me and compared. It seems to be read, seems to be written in a language that's an Ksav, that's not our Ksav. It's not Hebrew Ksav, it's not a known Ksav. It's their special Ksav. He had it tied to his body with ropes. Unbelievable. This man is 94 years old when I met him. And 6.5 feet tall. He's the progenitor of most of the basketball players you see nowadays. And he showed me he bared his chest. He walked for months, and the rope scarred, irritated, and scarred his skin. And dark-skinned people form what's called keloids, scars that stand away from the body, a heavy scar. And you could see on his body ropes, as if he still had the ropes on. Heavy scar tissue, where the rope cut into his flesh. When we discussed the halachas, and Hilchos Shabbos is like the Kohen, very makbid. They don't have any Osadavay from Moshe Zemim on Shabbos. They don't make fun of the Israelis for eating hot food on Shabbos, and the Machal Shabbos for eating hot food, and having Eish Kosh Roseichem. A lot of confusion with who they are, what they are, but I'll give you my conclusions in a minute. And then I asked him about Chalitza. He asked him about Tefillin, and he answered he doesn't know how to make it. I interpret. Right? Could be. Doesn't know how to make it. We don't have Tefillin either. We don't know how to make it. That's my Chalitza. And this man is in his 90s, lying on a couch. You let a woman who died, whose husband died, no children, can she remarry? And he said yes, but who would marry her? In other words, the young girls have trouble finding Hassan, and who would marry an Alman? I said, but if she could find someone to marry her, would you? I said yes. I said, well, what about Chalitza? And I opened up the passage in the volume, and the interpreter read it to him in his language, in the language they speak. And this man just started the passage, maybe three words in the passage that he interpreted, and he got up from the couch, stood up from the couch, stood on the floor, and burst into laughter. And what is he doing? He says, you shouldn't think you caught him that he doesn't know. The Yorka Bufano, to show that he knows what Chalitza is. Yeah. I said, so why don't you have Chalitza? It's in the Torah. There. He said, I did not see it in my father's house. His father was a Kohen Gadol before him. I said, but it's in the Torah. Why don't you practice it? And he answered again, because I did not see it in my father's house. He's saying that I have a Kabbalah, that it's not necessary. That put a real question on. I asked him about Gittin, and he said, oh yes, Gittin they have. And he showed me a get. And I had the interpreter interpret it. And the get said that because the marriage is not well, is sick, is the Lashon they use, therefore he must return the three goats, and he must return it. And it was a division of property, no word about Atim Tehaz HaLodom, the Kedushin, that of course is the Chumra HaMeivid HaDekule my Shver's Pesach. If they are Jews, they're mamzer, because the remarriage of a woman whose husband left her is most common, the sociologists who study them reported a 30% rate of remarriage of divorced women. A woman whose husband dies is of sort, kind of Kaplanist concept. Her husband died, nobody wants to marry her. But someone whose husband left her is available, and she has property, and she's a good catch, no problem. There's much remarriage based upon divorce or whatever it is. And consequently, you can't have it both ways. Either you have a real shash mamzeres that they're Jews, the shares chumra that they're really agoyim, and therefore they need milu tefila, right? However, make them possible love of a call without shakers. They're goyim and the shash mamzeres. That's the big advantage of that side. Shreya also said, I think some of you know it, that's from the Sharamo program. Shreya said, he wants people to know, he put it in a letter to Begin, it's been published widely. And I want you to know, he said, that although I hold that they're not Jews, he said, but they are entitled to all the Mesirat Nefesh of Am Yisrael to save them. Why, he said? Because anybody who died because he said he was Jewish, and that's why the Goyim killed him, is entitled to all the privileges of being Jewish. Therefore, there's a chiyuv of kiddush shvuyim, there's a mitzvah of a hatzil, etc., etc. And that's how we conducted ourselves. And those of you who want to, any of the people here who ever worked with Ethiopians, they are very, very pleasant people to work with, very charming people to work with. They're bright, they're hungry. They were when they came, I don't know what happened to them. Now they, someone said they're learning from the Israelis. So they're lazy and lost their work ethic. But I remember when we ran the program the first year, the kids would hide and lock themselves in the school and stay there all night, reading the books and working there. If they didn't caught and sent out, they had this avid avidity for Torah study, for learning, whatever you try to share with them. They just gobbled up and ran circles around the Israelis in Therapy Lit, where we ran the first program. They're very bright. Their teachers are not Negro teachers. Their teachers are almost Caucasian features, sharp noses, very handsome. The hair is Negro hair, though. Strange mixture. I'm personally convinced, and I have no time to go into it, from my reading and studying the subject, which I took time off and did, I think, as good a job as any, they most likely are either early Christians, when the Christian movement began to spread out, their early converts to Christianity, and hence they have much of Judaism still left with them, or maybe their origins are all from the Beis Mikdash of the that was in Cairo, the Beis Chonyo, the competitor to Yerushalayim. But that seems to be their wanderings. The best people able to track them, they track them back into Cairo area. And they spread from there, and it could be there where the influence, where they got some Jewish customs. But much of what they have that's particularly Jewish is shared by others in that area who have no claim to Judaism. For example, so-called Paras HaMishpocha, the menstrual hut is what they practice. But that's practiced by African tribes throughout Africa, and have no origins at all that can be associated with Judaism. So what seems Jewish is really African, and what is uniquely Jewish might have come in later, because there were people who had interaction with them. They were at Talis, for example. That, as far as we know, might have been introduced by these world-renowned travelers, Binyamin and so on, who came to them and brought some message of Judaism to them.
I want to understand why does Moshe Tzitzak that guarantee that the privilege of the Jewish
why that should allow us to start them.
Do what?
Why are we allowed to start them? Why are we allowed to educate them and to require them as though they were just?
And I mean, we required meal and series, and I'll teach show that meal and series.
The Ethiopians that attended the Sharmo program were all after meal and series.
Which ones?
The Ethiopians that attended the Sharmo program were all post meal and series.
No, no, very few.
That's after the Mitzvah Torah, you know, the Kura.
That, remember, our program was limited to nursery school, first grade. That amount of Torah that we taught them is perfectly mutar al avayu. We could have taught more, but in, you know, it's not misame. If you had a choice, what to do, if you had to show them Torah in order to attract them, to hold them from becoming lost to the goyim, some would also be a hetzer for that. But that's not the issue.
Why do we consider they should not become lost to the goyim if they are goyim?
Because the alternative is the same alternative that Unterman spoke about, and that is they will not become goyim. They become goyim who classified as Jews because the Israeli government classify them as Jews on their passport. Those who would, and that was one of the problems that we had to work with. Should we neglect them, or should we do something for them? And the way it worked out with the adults, we did nothing. Those who were taught math, and those who were in the program, no, we taught them math. And that's it. From the time in, we tried to teach as much credit as we could, in the hope of. This would be the best solution to a problem of some 5,500 of them wandering around their soil, stateless, without knowing what they are, and they would ultimately be classified as Jews when they were not. As you might know, my son, medical director Natanya, on the Adler Hospital, the largest contingent first came to Netanya, and they were in the Orly Hotel there, with everyone that came practiced house and struggling the couples that were put there, and within 3 or 4 months, not one was going to make it, because Susie, who was the Jewish agency director of the Orly Hotel, convinced them all, actively convinced them that they have to say, you don't need to go to Mikveh. She's Jewish, she doesn't want to Mikveh. And was able to divert their years and centuries of practice in a few months, almost Yalde Tehran kind of a thing, an active effort. Then when the communists got involved and they began to oppose the Gaelus, Yaakov had personally, was personally Gaia, hundreds of them, Erev Yom Kippur, when he had the bright idea of everybody's going to Mikveh and Mekabel all mitzvahs, and had the yeshiva boys and plain inhabitants, the young Israel there in Netanya, they all went to Mikveh together, the Ethiopians and them, the Bezdin standing there, and the Bezdin was certifying their tefillah l'shem. The same Davis, that's with the Rav Roshi's stock, they don't need Mila, that's Tzila alone is enough. And everything was going just fine until the communists came in, from their communists, got in a group and began to tumble. And when we ran the program in Nazaret, you couldn't get the kids to go swimming. They had arrangements made with a school there that had a beautiful swimming pool for the kids to use the swimming pool on during these hot, terrible hot summers in that part of Israel, and the parents wouldn't let the kids go to the swimming pool for fear that we'd be Magaya then. That's how difficult the relationships began. We kept it up after we came, and from then we have well over 100 who are Makabal Gators.
But all those that work with obligators, what point is their dealing with them at all? I don't understand. If they're not going to become Jews,
don't deal with them. You shouldn't run the program. I wonder if that's relevant to our discussion. You might, why I approved the kids learning with an Alabama and so on. Mm-hmm. So that was a prophet shot.
Is there a record being checked which wasn't
there? Yeah, of course. So the misrepresentation, that's one of the little hidden time bombs that Israel buries. I mean, so what, they solved the problem by letting the Kesim marry them now, those who are not Megara. Yeah, but you have in Kiryat Arba, you have some 40 families, you have been set in Mazar Sion, you have some 30 mishpachas, and so on. But it remains as a hatzolah futa, the problem is not going away. You still have Blaze of Alam, some 5,500 Ethiopians, and maybe some more will come, which there's been no solution.
Kiryat Magaya,
and
then are they like a
Suffolk
Mamzer because
the names are Jew? We'll talk on that. Let's move to the Suffolk Mamzer Shaila. The best way to do this with economy of time is to look at the Ran in Kedushin. That's the on page 5, second or third sequence. Okay? That's an absurdly called 3 section. The Ran is the one I hope most of you know or should know, not Shigeru Yashikoyach, for my pointing out to you. It's a critical Ran that negates halacha lemaaseh b'zman hazeh daily, the daily problem. Namely, what do you do with information that you have concerning a Baal Teshuva family that a generation back we think there might have been someone who married without benefit of get. Now, I made that point earlier, I don't know if you recall, our problem with Niyahudi, besides the terrible problem that it really is, a problem that is split on the soil now as rarely before, with such aggressive antagonism between the liberal and the orthodox. I don't tell this orthodox and orthodox is something you don't want to talk about. But Moshe Lubavitch is hanging on the ropes now, financially. They've lost their financial base, which was largely from irreligious sources. There have been active campaigns, letters sent out to memberships in many congregations of the conservative reform, asking not to support any Lubavitch organization, etc., etc. The problem really is a problem that we caused on ourselves. In the hope of things would get better or a problem will go away, we kept it cool instead of attacking the reform on their weak points. It's been our fate, our stupid fate, that we always choose a battlefield in which we are ill-prepared to fight the battle. We decided to take on the conservatives on the chitze, of all the stupid halachas to fight on, to fight about a mechitze when you should fight on Tolem and Hashemai. A mechitze, you're fighting sociology, you're fighting a liberal spirit. Fine, not going to give up the halacha on any point, but you don't choose a battlefield, you can't fight on everything. You should afford him. Why are you dancing with my Torah? Why not take a physics book or biology book? Why the Torah? Written by men, the biology book is more modern, more useful, etc., etc. Where we could have won, could have fought and won, we didn't. And not Hayom, we can still fight that battle. Nobody wants to give that Tapa Hasbara that week. We took on the reform on me Yehudi, don't like their Geirus. That's a feeding. How many Geirim do they have that go there to Israel to settle? Unless he's evading the tax court, where they caught him insider trading or something, and he's hiding out in Israel. I mean, what is he going there for? Where do you have this love of Zionistic indoctrination. When did reform happen? So we fought on that battle instead of fighting where we should have fought him on. And make him unfair. The battle that we should fight today is simply reform people, reform clergymen on remarrying women without benefit of get, knowing very well that their children cannot marry into the Orthodox or conservative families. Not just Orthodox, conservative also will not recognize a reform second marriage without benefit of get. They've made us into two species Jews. That biologically a species is defined as the ability to interbreed. If two groups cannot breed, they belong to two separate species. We cannot breed anymore with reform, mostly not with conservatives either, but with reform certainly not. You need B'dikro Dalai Mohos before you can even think of marrying into a reform family. Yet we know reform families give rise to Bali Tshuva, and tragedy accompanies them. Yeah. Why did the reform movement decide not only not to give Gittin, not to recommend Gittin, to discourage Gittin? Because they thought by 1989 we won't be here. There'll be no orthodoxy. So why worry about it? They will dance on our graves. So Kevzbov, who goes ahead and punishes them, you get a reform stalwart, and God punishes the family, and the kid becomes a Lubavitcher Chassid. Go do something. But then the Tzara starts. And then they find out that there's Shachshash Mamzeres in the family. Gadi Mamzeres, there's little you can do about it. My Shiraz Atzal saved the thousands of Mishpachas by his psak that a reform marriage, at least, he's willing to invalidate, claiming that they are not, it's not a marriage, Al Kedas Moshe V'Yisrael, that it is a living arrangement, some kind of alternate bonding, so that there is no need for Gittin, if it's difficult to acquire, and indeed, Allah Ha'amayse, that's how we conduct ourselves today. But then what do you do? What do you do with the Metzius? That a generation back, it was not a reform marriage following a reform marriage. It was a reform marriage following an Orthodox marriage. Because though the kids might have been irreligious already, because Tata Mame, they debugged, they went to the rabbi to get married. So the Kedushin of Kedushin and the Gittin wasn't there, and now they raise another family. What do you do with those kids? We almost destroyed the Hagbori because he found a heter for Achva Achos. A boy, my brother, a sister in the army, he passed him that they're not Mamzerim. And he was accused of making Mamzerim, Marvel Mamzerim be soil. But the American rabbinate allowed to happen in 1 week. The soil didn't do in its whole existence. He never tumult, he never screamed, he never screamed at anybody, why are you making Mamzerim? Nevertheless, Kadosh Baruch Hu sent us this Han to help out a little bit. Yeah.
Just
inform me, Deacon's mentality. Okay. Sit down. I'm a Rabbi Shua Ben Levi. I have it, pick it up around here. I made a mark. I got that on, so about where my finger is. Okay. I'm a Rabbi Shua Ben Levi. On the moment I find out, Kesev Mitaya Mamzeim. We quickly say a few words. I'm sure you're all familiar with this Gemara in Nassau Yusin. I'm Rabbi Shua Ben Levi. Pshat Kesev Mitaya Mamzeim. Pshat Kesev. They bribed, they paid the Rabbonim to accept Mamzeim, the part of the Mamzeim, not a Mamzeim, for money. That happened in Bovel. A terrible thing. That's why when Ezra went to Israel, he received the session, took all the Mamzeim with him. And therefore he made Bavel Solis to Kia. Bavel had no problem with Yusin. Also an interesting sociological decision on the part of Ezra. But since most of the good people, the Tamilis Chachamim, went with Ezra, and Bavel would be left without Tamilis Chachamim, he said, I can handle problems. Send the Shilas to me. He took the Shilas with him, leaving Bavel clean so that they would not be but there wouldn't be anyone there to pasten Shabbos for them. Therefore, Eretz Yisrael is Esau legabei Babel. Eretz Yisrael looked upon as a miyuchsin that is all mixed up compared to Babel. See, Gedolei Eretz Yisrael went to Babel for their shidduchim because of the pure line, Sfaradit Tahor line, that Babel was able to boast out. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Tzedaka Otsa Kodesh Baruch Hu in Yisrael, Mishpocha She Nitmo'o Nitmo'o. Roche Perusha. Ketev Mitaya Mamzerim Ha Nitmo'om Di Yisraelim, Machmas Mamonim. Those who passed over Jews, they passed over the line into Judaism because they paid their way, and they got Rabbanim to be inside the Kedushin to get them in. Right? He will not declare who's a mamzer, who's not a mamzer. He'll declare who's a kohen, the Levi, yes. That yes. He will separate the false kohanim from the true kohanim, but he will not comment on psul mishpacha. The sefer dekra, royal Hashem magishay mincha b'tzdaka, tzidkaso sha'akadosh baruch hu, shein mavdilam, ela hoel v'nitmu'u nitmu, that's with an ayin. Hamatamei v'amadamei v'amanatah. Already mixed up. Hashemalei Yisraeli, Hai Mitaya Lav Mavdu Psuleyem. Mitaya means to purify. No, it means Mitaya means to declare them Mitahum and Mashiach. To declare them Tahorim, even though they are not. The Jasin and Subig Moa, Kol Arotos, Yisrael Eretz Yisrael, they got a Yuchsin. There's the soil, Isol above her, Koma ki Isol mu Rebis. We got all the soil, all the problems, all the shyness. Went there as a soil, we got problems, bubble was left clean. Let's skip down a few lines. Mishpachas Beisaksi, Toysa Beverayade. Berachta ben Zion bezroa. Roma, hachrizu shem suli. Ben Zion was adam choshev, ubal zroa. He was able to take them on, these moneyed individuals who brought away by money. He was strong enough to oppose them. And the Richtam, he declared these mishpachas psulim. Yod achera tois hashem bekirvo ben Zion bezroa. Roma, ilu bo el yo letame yo letaya lerachig lekare. Gan Elu the Yadin and Klomar, Shakomar Zikin also the Psulim, Alishin Skarbo Bizroa. So everybody knows the Mamzerim, but they paid their way in, but they have the Shem Mamzer, everybody knows it. What can you do? You can't fight him. He's the president of the shul, what's going to be done? Right? Abo Mishpocha Shenitmo, Machma Shalom knows the Psula, Nitmo. Umitanir, here's the round I'm referring to. Shaf is Manazer, Mishpocha Shenitmo, Nitmo Klomar. Shemi sheyodeya psula eino rishoy legalosa ela yanicheno becheskes atsheira uliyosid lovo apapi sheyivoda hadova teik sheira miu from the Ran with one reservation efsha shavoyu legaloso vitsnuin zvei sheyidbuku behem apapi shemhoyu mitvoku mehem blo yidiyo lo yishan isakal. Once in 7 years, they get to have a cycle there. Told them, you're looking for Shidduchim, that's not for you. Stay with that family. But Newton let it out publicly, because mishpacha shenitma nitma, except for one problem. We need a mishpacha that Kadosh Baruch Hu mashash kinas olam, because that's where Kadosh Baruch Hu will take his leadership role from. Right. That has to be a mishpacha, a zera that is mukhan likidusha, and that you don't want a mishpacha shenitma nitma. This is halacha l'maaseh b'zman hazeh. I get a call on a telephone. Someone says, you know, I have a shaila about a mamzeres. Remember my shul found out that a grandmother might have been remarried. She thought she had only one husband. There's some rumors now that she might have remarried and they're not in Russia. Who knows? The first thing you tell such a person is, drop it. Tell the whole, don't you investigate any further. Finish. Period. Allah is Mishpacha Shenitma Nitma. Leave it be. If it's a shaila involving one person, I say a pasuk, one person has to handle the shaila. But if you, the consequence of having a grandmother declared a mamzeres, like having her children declared mamzeres, and you now have 8, 9, 10 mishpachas that were infected involving hundreds of people, the halacha is mishpacha shenitma nitma nitma vein megalin, period. Let it be. Why? Because derech hakosav mamzer vadei amar Rachman evlo mamzer safik midaraisa a safik mamzer is kosher. Period. As part of the stuff of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? That does not mean that a personally an individual who knows he comes from mishpacha chashuva should not use whatever care, concern he wants to make sure that his children will be royal to be members of Sanhedrin, and everybody in the Beit HaMikdash, the Kohanim will be able to serve in the Beit HaMikdash, and so on. That you can set any standard you want for yourself, but you keep it to yourself. It's nothing to be discussed with anybody else. It's the only way we can survive this manager. Okay? This Quran is, I say, Allah Almighty is how he touched it, like this Quran. You wanted to say something there? Was that something?
Once, if I report to you the second
generation,
that's
the redemption. That's what the mother said, I'll be Moses. Check four mothers, yeah.
Before that, the reform stage, check back to it. Yeah, yeah. In Europe, there was no reform there. To go back further, or just
yeah.
Check to
I'm after this, with this Ran involved, you obviously the need to be bodic, the Gemara speaks about, is obviously something you're aware of, and the Ran I also aware of. That's why it's a very sensitive child to know when you say don't be bodic and leave it to Shpacha Shenitma Nitma, and when not.
Basically, a Ravnashil doesn't have to be bodic.
And that's not true. That's not true. Basically, a rov in the shul has to be bodek because you want me to give see the kedushin and put my name on the ksuba. I want to be bodek whatever I want to be bodek. We're talking about here to be megale. This was mishpachet mamzerim. That's also shachis siman. That's a little different level. It doesn't follow that a rov in shul should give see the kedushin to all comers, or that a principal in the school should accept children and not ask any questions, knowing very well that the mother or the grandmother was from a reformed family, and a real big shaila whether they were ever Jewish. And so these are the shailas that we live with every single day now. Those are the bitter shailas that have been imposed upon us by a reform movement who now accuses us of divisiveness. I mean, who divided Am Yisrael, who fragmented Am Yisrael? That's so.
If there's strangers off the street, what is the application? What does the application look like? Do you ask them who was your mother, who was your grandmother, who did they marry, how far did you go back? So what do you do in the application? You say, what's your mother's name? What's your grandmother's name? What do you say? Did they remarry? What questions do you ask people when you're involved?
We'll leave that to the other question. Pack over minutes. You want to, we'll discuss. I'll tell you a lot of my history, but I'd rather not get them, because they'll take up the rest of the time. I want to finish the unit today.
Yeah.
ما فهمید اما خذاب که شما خیر رو میتونست نما خودش میبادی کرو نه 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 نما خودی که بیبادی a person has a chesed. You can't destroy his chesed that will soon learn without two aidim. You have a suffix, the chesed kashas, and the bottom of the suffix. And you got chokers. And you have chokers. A lot of it, we'll see, we'll come into it with the kuna, Shaila will be able to introduce it. There are many, many different problems. Remember, you have, besides non-zevers, there are other psulim that are extant today, like Nivul al-Akum to a Kohen, which is the horror story of Zman HaZeh. I mean, a Baba Shuvia who is not a Gieres, but who lived the life of a pre-Baba Shuvia on the campus, and she became a Baba Shuvia when she was 17, 18, 19. The possibility of Nivul al-Akum is a probability, not a possibility. Go Basahol, he's not a Nivul al-Akum. These are the troubles we have nowadays.
Does this rod work for other staples as well? For example, the person is not even know that you want to know if the person is Jewish or not?
I told you it's based upon the halacha of Mamzavadeh with Lo Sofik Mamzah. That applies only to Mamzahs. Special, that's why, as part of the Tzedakah also is based upon the rights of the Kachiyyub, right? That you have to have Avadeh Mamzah in order to have the Easter Mamzeres, the Rin of Suffolk, the Reis of the Chumah doesn't apply, etc.
Does that help you if you have
reasons
to believe somebody has bad ears?
No. Okay? This just because it's psychologically, it's in the same frame of reference as the Ran, it's call your attention to what is one of the Shuvahs of Maishver that maybe types his personality more than anything else that people know about him. If you look on page 13, I'm sorry, giving you Dali. Okay, page 13 in the last numerical sequence. Another one of these little tshuvas that removed much anguish from Am Yisrael. I know some yeshiva boys who marry girls from Stern College who are Bali tshuvas, who were born to a family of Bali tshuvas. And when they were born, the family was full already. I'm sorry. When they were born, the family wasn't full yet. But soon after they were born, the family was full. And the Shaila comes up, especially in the Yiddish mishpachas. Can you consider such a girl? She's a bat nida. And the bat nida, the Gemara says, is a pkuma. I can testify this year alone, six, seven shidduchim I know didn't get off the ground because the parents found out that the family were Bali Shuvah. Not the girl. The girl was born already. Haroso, I mean, later. Lade Dosa, Nuko was the Kedusha. When she was 4 or 5 years old already, she was 70 years. To a day school, to nursery school, and went to Beis Yaakov, and finally, Malam Bakodesh from Beis Yaakov, she went to Stern College. And they won't allow the shidduch because she's a bat nida. Probably she's the family came Bali Tshuva after she was born. Clearly the wife, the mother, is not going to meet her. And vice versa. What do you do with this halacha? This shiloh was asked by my son, Yaakov, who's the doctor, the one who's in Maniato Hospital. And the sheriff here gives a kind of tshuva that only he can give, and why when you read such a tshuva you have to take tshuva that he's not around to give such tshuvas anymore, and you realize the loss. I'll summarize the tshuva for you, and you should read through it. It's, Shuba is sending you Dalit on page 13. In Yesh to Noam and Isha Isha Shachoshin Shi Basnida Yitznuo Balos Nido Sobos. The gist of the Shuba is that the Gemara calls the Basnida Guma, means it's not such a shidduch that you should machatila get involved in, also make some comments about the personality of a bas nida. Bas nida, because she was conceived the isur, has a coarse personality. She's a chasufa, she's a tznua, and that's just the truth is, this girl that they were talking about, is that the kind of girl she is? Obviously not. A fine achievable wants to marry her means she's a fine girl, good midos, etc. Well, then surely she was conceived after her mother went swimming in a mixed public beach. When you go swimming in the ocean, you don't observe taras and mishpacha. How can you explain that that midos should be a fine person? It must be that she's not a bas nida, that her mother conceived her b'tahara because she is, well, she didn't go to mikveh. She did go swimming. A woman going underwater, wearing a bathing suit. She's been in the water for a little while, and the bathing suit is fully saturated, right? It's a kosher tefillah, and therefore it's perfectly fine to marry such a woman. Obviously, the Tshuva does is reach out to, first of all, a steer and two gemaras. I'm sorry, a makokes, a tovo mada. Gemara says that a bas nida has certain personality flaws, and that this is a bas nida, she's supposed to have them. The Gemara doesn't lie. In fact, she doesn't have them, presents a problem to you. Well, we have a simple solution. Some Tshuva says, obviously, Gemara doesn't lie. She's not a bas nida. It has to be so.
I don't know
the Guma personality. No, that's the second Gemara. The Guma problem is Guma is a statement of Yichus. Problem that got to be Yichus. It's not a Shula, but it's a Guma. Then the Gemara speaks that a child conceived from a basa, from an anusa, where you forced your wife against the will. Those of Mishamish, Lor Haner, Nashkin Bosomot, and most the whole thing. Among them is also Basnida having certain personality traits.
Yeah.
This works for Benita also, right?
Obviously.
The Malkin says you can break any traits you want. There's no certain. People are free to be whatever they want to be. The person is born to kill, be a showcase. So you can change yourself.
Therefore, that's the Gemara. Not for me. Gemara, so that's the Kasha and the Gemara.
Right, have traits, but then break
sentence. Right. Right, so the Gemara and the Gemara is that Bas Nida has those traits, or Puma, but Bas Nida can break the traits, it's not necessarily a Kasha. That's a Humoitsev, Humopali, that's such a Kasha, he's such a Tedder. What Kasha learns at Club Tedder? Pigeon 1 foot in 50 amos, 1 foot outside of 50 amos.
I don't understand. I mean, is this true about it? Is it taken, you know, at the car lunch, or is it something that you can rely on his program?
Move next. I don't know yet. I'm trying to get a feel whether all the questions are attacked here, searching or just the content. Some things are obviously to be understood. Basher Hushom, as it is. You want to extend it for other circumstances and ask questions. Yeah, for shaila, it's a private shaila. In general, this could be that if you know, you have problems. So what do? You have to discuss it. The trouble is, you're asking the question to practice Persians on the integrity of the tshuva. The tshuva stands as it is, it's a proper tshuva. Then what do you do in a case where you do know? What do you do in a case where it's not a mishpacha shen nitmo, but everybody knows that she's a mamzera, so you avoid it? What can you do? It's a pegumah. So we don't solve all the problems. Our hope is to solve only passing grade, 65% of all shaylos that oppose. Yeah.
Is there a problem with one of my
Now, should I know this? A little bit better. No? No, Sila does not require any kavana, and Dao, well, says a woman's passing over a bridge, you know, and a wave, so got a helium, not an atom bomb in the Pacific, and a wave washes over her, she's kosher. Sila does not require any kavana, l'shem Sila.
What about the Sukkot in America when there weren't a lot of make Moshers? If you search far enough to most mikvahs, won't you find Obed-Nido eventually?
So they say that? Only little hospital. No, absolutely not. My shver tells a story in Luban, when the Russians took away, when the communists came to power, they took away the mikveh, first thing they did. And they posted guards. There was a big river there, posted guards, not allowed anyone to use the water because of public safety. And for 7 years, no woman got pregnant in Luban. What happens? What is true for the Hassan? Always you make clothes.
What about in America?
America, always you make clothes. You travel further. Nowadays, we get people, some of our chaplains in the army, a woman flies 300-400 miles to make every month with an Air Force plane at the cost of some $80,000-$90,000 of taxpayer money. No. All right. I'll tell you a true story. I won't mention the name, I don't embarrass him, but one of our mismochen is out in a base in Texas, in an Air Force base, and they have a problem on the Mexican border. The problem is his wife is with him, and she has to have a mikveh, and there's one mikveh, but it's hundreds of miles away, and they've been using Air Force planes, and now austerity program, the civilian, the wives, he can go to mikveh and get and commandeer a plane to take him, but his wife can't. His witness can't use the plane unless he's going on a regular routine mission, and then she can come along, but they won't make a special trip for her. Well, that's good. Anyway, they discovered that in a little town on our side of the Mexican border, there's a shul. An old shul that's closed down, and the shul has a mikveh. So I fly down there, up there, and they go, look, we fill up the mikveh, check if it's a fine mikveh, a bowl, and then fill up the bowl with tap water and check out if there's no leaks, etc. We've got a ceramic man in, and we checked up, perfect shape, but it hasn't rained like in a year and a half. Anyway, stretch here, there, find the site, and no choice. It will be the biggest cooler possible. We'll make a bowl with artificial ice. Where do you get artificial ice? So, since he's a captain in the Air Force, he's entitled to order ice cubes for Shabbos night parties, and this fellow ordered ice cubes. Anyway, after a few weeks, months it was actually, he gets a call from the general. And look, you know that officers like to drink, they make parties. He explained to me, what are you doing with so many ice cubes? As he made a question, you got enough ice cubes for 30,000 people. Anyway, the punchline is Baruch Hashem explains what he was doing. The guy, okay, I shouldn't have done it. I was speaking to him, but he understands. Good. Anyway, 3 or 4 weeks later, he jumps in a car. It's like 60 miles from the base. Instead of flying, they travel. Travels wife to the mikveh finally, and she comes to the mikveh. And of course, the mikveh is all ice cubes. Being a mikveh in a heavy stone house, it sure was deep in the ground. It's like you store ice, nothing melted there. It took close to a year before the ice cubes melted so that they could use the mikveh. Like 6-7 months later, it was transferred out of the base. Yeah. But this is, and I mentioned this not for the story, but to show him still a pleasure for the Taras Mishpochim, and actually, the part of the Shavuot used to say, the fire of Am Yisrael came from the women who chopped holes in the ice to go to Mikveh. That's where we take our fire from. We'll have the Mikveh in America. Mikveh was very strong. Rare was rare to find a Makal Shabbos family where the husband worked on Shabbos because he couldn't get a job otherwise. And people would speak to some of the older people how maybe a grandfather, great grandfather of yours would change a job every 2 weeks because the first Shabbos didn't show up, he was already fired. And of course the owners of the sweatshops were Jewish and wouldn't stand for anyone who was a Shema Shabbos. And he went from job to job to earn a living for a family. And then Machal Shabbos, the Ones, or whatever you want to call it, but the wife wouldn't go to Mikveh was unheard of. And among the Sfaradim, I get recalled in contact with Sfaradish families where everything was gone. Shabbos was gone, Kashrus was gone. The Taras Mishpacha remained absolute. Let's continue on this Mamzeros one. I call your attention to a tshuva on page 7 that has interesting applications with Manazah with artificial insemination donor sperm. Shaila would have to be choshish for mamzerus on the people who use donor sperm and donor semen inseminations because the husband has no ability to impregnate the wife. And you go to a doctor who has a donor, and if the donor is non-Jewish, is a halbatel. The donor is Jewish, we have a chash that we more bring down, Shema Nivela Lipsula. I have to be chashish for that or not. And the simple hector is based on Kolderal Polish, Mizubika Polish. Since you can't classify this that she went to the man, she went to the man, it's called Kavua Kamachta Amachta. And even though there's only one school in town, the mother says, it's a suffix, because suffix that I say is called Kavua Kamachta Amachta. But if the Boel came to her, it's called the Polish Rubika Polish. So in the Makta, on that basis. But then, starts again, the Yichis, who knows, etc. This Tshuva is in keeping with the general Tshuva on donor insemination, namely that without a Maisa Iso, there is no consequence of the insemination. The consequence of insemination has to be what? Adultery or bastardy. Adultery or bastardy cannot occur without a Maisa Iso of Bia. And you cannot commit adultery with a syringe. You cannot commit adultery in an artificial means. Later, if there's no Bia Shel Iso, there is no Halacha Mamzer here. Mamzer is not a genetic trait, even though mamza goes at sof kaladoros, but it doesn't mean that it goes with the sperm. It goes with the maisabia. And if you classify insemination as not a maisabia, and it's irrelevant, even from Mamza, the child will be a kosher. Okay? Not negate as much Halacha L'maaseh, because Halacha L'maaseh, if you ever matir AID, or those who are matir, only allow a non-Jewish donor. But you see, even if it's, as many don't ask shaylis, they go to Jewish donors, not to use the Jewish donor, which is most common in the New York area. And with a Jewish donor, you want to fall into the category of malos, the biyuchsin, special chumrah that we also even sfeikos bizman hazeh. It doesn't apply to the artificial condition. Okay?
Yeah. It's a little off the track, but donating sperm, there's no problem of
other problem, but no problem. Now, not the sperm going to be used for insemination. It's not hashpas hazeh. The child is semen procurement. How are you going to get the sperm? Masturbation is also, that's just a boxed in a little bit. Test 22. You can't take the sperm out, but if you can't take it out, but you can use it when you get it out.
Masturbation also
is not for sure. Masturbation also because it's also off masturbation, not off test 22. One man says it's from the Sabbath and Dibbles. Go sin off fiat. That's what Gemara in Yavama says. He doesn't allow nigga fiat, so they want to be bodic. There I know they to see who is royal or holy or not. You have to use the mantra pukri. You have to use some strange means of heating, putting hot packs on the rectum, and that should induce an ejaculation and so on, but it wouldn't allow a neophriat. We don't allow masturbation as for semen procurement. There are methods you can use nowadays, complicated methods, but if necessary, you can obtain semen without that, but that's an easy method. If it's from a husband, you obtain it through use of a Milex sheet, a specially prepared condom that the infertility men have. It's made of a Teflon-like material, not injurious to the sperm, and you have via kedavka, then that semen is used. Usually used for test purpose, how the husband is, or used for AIH, for artificial insemination using the husband's sperm, where you work with the uterine insemination, placing the sperm higher up in the hope that would solve the infertility problem.
Rabbi said that if they usually supposed to come out here, the zera of the joy, but what if the mice, Rabbi said that they use the zera of the
joy? Yeah, the discussion. And then, like I said, the zera is kosher because you have two shushes with a Jew. Example in Be'er Sheva, had a big infertility program, and we found out that one donor inseminated 70 women. He was a single donor. Why a single donor? Because you gotta be crazy to use more than one donor. The legal liability of providing a donor with a genetic flaw in him is so great that if you finally find someone who's proven that he's at stud and he doesn't give any problems, you don't want to go to look for somebody else. But here and then, Be'er Sheva, which isn't a medical center that's attracting Yerushalayim, they go to Hadassah. So from the local area, he inseminated 70 women, 70 children belong to him. What's the likelihood of one of those children meeting each other? And thereof determines the paternity, even though it's done by Bambachia. In England, they passed a law that no donor can inseminate more than 10 women. Australia, likewise. America doesn't have a law yet on it, but it will be this year. They'll pass the same law to avoid consanguinity, to avoid necessary for our lives. Okay, let's move to the time is fugitive. We have I want to touch upon a big union. And that is the Tzuli Kuhuna. And here, let me first call your attention, take it backwards, take page 10, the last sequence, I think it is. All right. Page 10, yeah. All right. Even your base in Negus, and then we'll go to the show. No, we'll do it backwards this time. Ben Avaryanim Hamaz de Gatsmo the Kohen, the Emo Bemisil with the Tumor Shazinsa Imakom Kledim Shanolai, and Beno Muto Begieres. I picked that Shuvi simply because it has three, four, five different kinds of shilas mixed up into the Shuvi. Let me first outline the problem for you and then see first what the Shulchan says and see what the approach here is. Let me read you a little bit. In the Ibn Ezra and Simon Rov. Noshim Asurus the Kohen, the Dinesh's Kohen. Kohen also Menatova, the Gush, Zona Halola, also Bachlutim Rabbana. Next. Ezeo Izona. Right, Kohen is also Menatol. Gusha, you know, Halola, Zona, the Halola, right? We also Bachalut, Bata Zona, Kol She'eno, Bat Yisrael, or Bat Yisrael, She'nivola, Li Adam, She'i Asuva, Li Nasilo, Matika, Hanivata, Behema, Afishi, Beskila, Lanata Zona, right? Lanisol, Huna, She'el Nivola, Lodom. Abor Anidav, the Yishuv Kores, Natazona, Ramalisul Lakuna, Shereyena Asuli Nasilo, Dishna Tapsen, and Anidav. That's the test, right? Abor Hanibelis, Ephemi Suri Lavi, Ashon Behol, Beni Michelis Bukahanim, Omi Yisra Seitz, Abom Yishu Asul, Omi Shem Elva, or Kusi Bebet, Hol the Yisuri Nasilo, Arezu Zona. Which means if a Jewish girl had a relation with a Goy, she's Asura Lekohen. Asura Lekohen, meaning, and if he marries her, all his children are non-Kohanim. That's all Kohen goes. Finished. He remains a Kohen, but his children are not Kohanim. They cannot be nice to find, and they're Kohen, and if you don't have them, they become Yisraelim, they lost. Kohuna, it's not a Knas, it's a Lachal Moshe Sinai, that's a Lachal. A girl was raped. Anusa, true Anusa, she's Asura Lekohen. And a Knas, nothing to do with, like she didn't punish her. What this has opened up is two intriguing charges. What is the most significant one is what's the Kohen? Who's the Jew? Who's the Kohen? Someone wrote me a shayla on brain death after listening to a lecture by some of my faculty. After brain death, he said it seems that the hearing lecture I had given in California, that it seems that we're fighting with the reform on who is a Jew, and I'm fighting with the Orthodox on who is a dead Jew. The Shaila, who is a Kohen, is an interesting Shaila, but not as and this is a halacha, I think, that you're all familiar with, that just like a Pishnai made in Yochum Dovah, when they use it necessary to transfer money, at the beginning of the purchase, it is necessary for change of personal status, the use. You can't declare some amanza because of Yosem Apol, nor can you declare someone Kohen or non-Kohen without some evidentiary proof. What evidentiary proof do you have to have that someone's a Kohen? My shul, you know, Aliyah, according to the computer printout, right? So you get an Aliyah once in 3.5 years. So a bunch of people fight with him, say, but come on, get Aliyah for all. What possible? How do you become a Kohen? This is the problem. The problem would have been, it's interesting, the theoretical shayla. Comes in, like everyone now, in good yeshiva,
knows he's a client, because now Bobby and father told him he's a client. He doesn't have them mothers. Now when he doesn't want to be burdened with his mother because he's involved with the that's the shaggy. However, my third was felt all along that if the Aegis comes only from irreligious people, and there's no one, no Benteria in the family, no Kumanus in the family that's confirmed that women or uncle or husband who testified that he had fight, that he can disregard the testimony of the family. And here we have the, however, the test of test that we use nowadays. Is there someone buried from the family? And this Shubhi mentions the fact that they found down in one of the tombstones, the C.S. Kapayan, indicating that it was a poet, a poet is the death of Israel feels to die for truth, so that you can't fight with that truth. And of course, you have also an important halakhic. You don't take that into account in any of the chuvahs that I've seen. That because they suffer bowing, you're going to be maple and stuff like that. No, it's like saying it. So, well, the suffix wounded is not as bad, which is the intrinsic standard of wounded that we have. It's actually 100% by choice. But that's what he'll always be doing when he's not going to start up with his Shkopish Nishmo Nishmo, but he will be marching being, if you have bowing. Was it right to be a Kohen or not? Obviously, there's a built-in topic in all Kohuna. You know, the Blitzka run around like with a Sager, they think. By the Sager to make sure that one of them is special. They put their children, many behind them, to make sure that one of them should be special. I have a son-in-law named Rappaport, Shabbat Rappaport, who makes a fortune. The Blitzka got his address and sends all the people to him for to be near there, and he's from the strangest sights you want to see is a man of 80 struggling up 3 flights of stairs, knocking on the door, he's coming to be pleased with himself. He wants to make a plea in a bench. Well, the police told him that the Rappaport person was wounded about their showing, and he only had a faith for him in the minute 9 to 8 years ago. 79 years ago. Once we hit them another time. Alright, so walk away from that thing, yeah. Okay, where are we up to?
In terms of the schedule, it's the final. Why wouldn't it be that the father told everybody it was going? So they weren't
sitting down with him? That's what Hulzak like means. You go back. If for generations it's been accepted, you know, obviously it's on the money to somebody. The assumption is that in the previous generation, if the Rebbe means they may not say it means the Rebbe, the Shul accepts him as a Kohen, and people accept him as a Kohen. It's the both sides of the Rebbe means. A woman shows up with a little boy, and then she's mezana with him. We give them both misa, even though we only know it from the fact that they look like a mother and son.
Why is
the question that and of personal status, I'm a part time no for ages we need Alfishnaim Aiden Yachim Dabo. Personal status requires two agents, same as any halacha of Moti Momo, or Malkis, or Nefoshos. You have to have two Aiden in order to change your personal status. And here we are dealing with to be Motzi, Anisha, Mibailo, so on a basis of non-halachic ages, circumstantial evidence alone
normally would meet up. But the hard trouble is that Aegis of Kuhuna Bismanazah is always in this strange intermediary. Shneidim it's not, but Huzak has been accepted. And Huzak is a kind of Anan Sahadi. It's a public consensus that this individual is a Kohen. And this is sufficient, I received, because we're Malkin, Mamis Malach Hazokos. That's how we pass.
That's what I'm wondering. Why will we rely on the cousins to say this? I remember when I was a kid, my father was calling to my
institution.
And why won't we rely on
the cousins? Because that's not it, that's your idea. See, I think I included it one of the Chuvas shared this important distinction. When it goes up, Aegis, testimony of individual, then it goes to Hilchos Aegis. But there are other ways to ascertain things where the Bezdin just knows it to be true. It's not the Torah's Aegis, it's the Torah's Yedia. Right. And therefore, the Dayan has a right to make a Psak Din based upon his Yedia, but he knows things. We know that even when it comes to be Motzi Mamon, Rafid Rafizda whispered in the ear, we learned in Sanhedrin, big Rami Sanhedrin, Tayshus brings it down, whispered in the ear that this one is Shuda Ala Shua. And he listens to her. Why? She's a woman, and she's a covet to the Dayan too, since she can't have an aid. How come he listens? I don't listen to her because we tell her to say this. Kimli begavah, and I now know with the fact. How I attain my knowledge is irrelevant, but my knowledge now is absolute. I have no doubt about my knowledge. I therefore can work with the halach of Yedi and not halach of Aegis. That's what the Gemara that means, that when I cut them in certain circumstances, I says things which is not rational to think that he could possibly be mistaken in his judgment. You know? So it becomes a source of information which better than can function with. Alright? If you can, I just call your attention to one more tshuva here. I'm sorry. All right, the Sibin test on page 6. Again, on the personal status, halacha l'chumra, meaning where the testimony is batznua shomer astora she'im mahoisa putza l'znus imik shelem. Shasot, she is a mamzeres, because the mother didn't conduct herself properly. The issue there is, again, a woman is not meant to say upon herself that she's an asura to a husband, were not for the Mishnah Rishona, Mishnah Achona, that the Gemara in Yevamah says, that was facial her, that maybe she's saying it just to get rid of him. So if they purposely have Mizana with somebody, so they don't have to give me a get. The Gemara comes and says, Mishnah Achona, the Rabbana made a takona that she has no nemanis for it. Nemanis. And no namonis extends even to not letting herself become shabda nafsha fichli silva, because otherwise you'll end up with the same thing. He'll suffer after divorce her, because he can live with her, but she can't live with him. So therefore the tachana was made with the power of afkin ramonis dushmina if necessary, that they refused to accept her self-incrimination that she was mazana. Right? That's on herself. What about the impact on her children? She said that she lived a life of a libertine, and shash girl, and this girl herself, the girl may be a mamzer. As the tshuva works out, something that's hard to understand how such a thing ever existed, but I imagine it did or does, where even the couple, the king themselves, had what was once called an open marriage. That occasionally, if you feel like going out with an old girlfriend, I have no objections, as long as you don't object by going out with an old girlfriend. And the Melech lived that kind of a life, and she's now the Bat Tznua Shomeres Torah, how it happens that she became a Balas Tshuva from such a family, and now she wants a noble status. And essentially what the Shel puts together here is two halakhas, both of which are relevant halakha l'maaseh. One of Rov Bilos Ho'chosacha Baal, that even though she was Mezana knowingly, we know the father is Mezana with many men, that since she is more often with a husband than with strangers, we assume that any child that's born was born from a relation with a husband, not with an outsider. That's number one. Number two, the question of the nemunas of a woman to cast aspersions on the integrity and the personal status of a child. A woman can cast aspersions on herself. A person can go ahead and declare themselves also, except for the Mishnah Ahona that doesn't want to allow it because of a takonah. But if she wasn't married to anybody, there'd be no shaila. She could declare herself a mamzeres. A mother could be a mamzeres, but the daughter may not be a mamzeres. The mother's testimony against herself will be nemenes because she has nemenes on herself. This is the ages of mamzeres. It's not like the also ainon makes matzma rosha. It's a status, and therefore she has nemenes to say that she's a mamzeres. But she has no nemanas to make her children mamzerim. So the children will not be mamzerim because they lack edus of the mamzerim. The edus of the mother is not a kosher edus. The woman on herself, either the halacha of shavi and asher tichi yisurah, she's nemanas, or maybe this is a halacha where her daughter's bal din does help, even though it's there's normally by momenus. But here, where it doesn't involve any act of rishus necessarily on her part. So it's not the halacha in a mitzvah matzma rasha, just the mission of yediyah that she knows that she has a such status. So on herself, she'll have nemanis, and the children not. We pass that way halacha l'maaseh, that a woman who will come and who will testify that indeed the mashal she'll even come and say, as we had such cases, where she said she was married once before, and no one has a record of it. She said yes, she was out on the campus and. They got married, and then a few months later, they had the marriage annulled. Not mechuyav to accept her hagodah as it affects her children. On herself, she has nemanis. On her children, she has no nemanis. This is simple halacha of edus. It's not a special halacha for mamzeres. It's a halacha in Koldova. A woman's personal status is as much her possession as is her money. Her mother couldn't testify to take money away from her. The mother can't testify to take away her state of kashrus. Chesus kashrus remains inviolate, that too. Okay, I think that's as far as I wanted to push it. Anything you people now want to discuss? Now let's hear what's still disturbing you. Yeah.
Before, when you said that there were two kashrus when you said the maisa of the man in Be'er Sheva who was. And it's supposed to be inspiring 70 children. So, what would the other shash?
Mm-hmm.
If one, you'll have a problem with Arias, and you'll have people from the community marrying, and that was what was the other shash?
The kahuna, because kolkavua kumatzal matzah. The mal says it will depend whether the boil came to her or she went to the boil. But this should be called the chash, whether she goes to the hospital to the sperm bank, whether that's called kolkavua kumatzal matzah now. So there'll be a shailis, and as long as there's one psul in Be'er Sheva, she'll be asura. Our children will be psulim. Or, the bigger charge, of course, as I mentioned, because a large number of impregnations that the one donor was involved in, we had a case, by the way, involving J.G. Smith, the one who was involved with this Klein case. Remember the woman lying in coma, and they wanted to do an abortion on her. The obstetrician was J.G. Smith from Albert Einstein, an old obstetrician from Great Neck. I was involved with him 20 years ago, where he called me up. He received two invitations from two of his patients, both of whom he had inseminated with the same donor, and he knew that a brother and sister were being married. And he asked me to come into the case. I met with the people, and the invitation was out already, and we mevatel them the shidduch, because that's the time and wasn't that common. But there were two women from Great Neck. He used the same donor. Just never, these things never occurred to anybody. You used the same donor. You had a half brother and half sister that was they were going to be married. There's bad days, such things are happening all the time. There's a fellow here in Columbia who had himself written up in the New York Times some years ago, who I don't know how many children he inseminated, but that he provided 500 donor semen samples during the years that he was a medical student and a resident here in the Columbia program on artificial insemination. These are problems that the society just had imposed upon them as medical technology advanced far ahead of society's willingness to undertake the analysis of the ethical problems that the technology raises. Instead of first discussing what shyness we have, then moving into the technological advance, first you do, and then suddenly the shyness catch up with you. Anything else? Yeah? Donor insemination? That's another thing. Looking at this, my Shvel spent a good part of his life under attack because of it. He points out that there are no Isurim involved. Whether it's recommended is another matter. It's not recommended, and he's emphasized. He wrote his Shuvas Halacha of Lola Matzah, but no one ever saw his Shuvas. All they saw is the Negus Moshe, two Shuvas that he has. If you want to see the whole Indian handled properly, if you'll take a look at Divos Moshe Ksubis, in the back of Divos Moshe Ksubis, you will quickly bring in that sefer when the rumor came out that the Shver had changed his mind on the Shaila. And in order to quickly quell such rumors, he asked us to print in the back of Ksubis, just coming out, a Kuntris on Hazrom Alachutit, which for the first time in his life, he answered by name all the critics who had attacked him on the Shuvah. The Shver never answered a critic who wrote something in Hamor or part of attacking him. If you wrote him a letter, he answered you. Didn't write to him directly, he never answered. And here for the first time, he took apart the Hamor and apart of the whole Rebbe Lachu. You know what you say, Nagod Revovo, Kitzema Chasod and Satifa. All the Rebbe Lachu suddenly began to become Tamir Chachom and Poskim to attack him on Kedushas Yisrael and so on for allowing donor insemination on Pi Aloche. He said the Aloche Lamaite didn't print the Tshuva, so anyone else can Poskim. So he himself used to Poskim when necessary. And he answered by name and line for line every criticism, answered the way that you'll never see another Tshuva written that way. He answered in anger, which he's never done before or since there, and really puts them down, those who make believe that they know what they're talking about. Shows they don't know Pshat and Gemara, and Adon Rashi, and Tosfos, and Chumash, etc. Yeah, anything else?